We are open for business, 636-1350 to join us live in the KSRO Greenhouse on Garden Talk. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher or Steve at KSRO.com. Either way you'd like to chat with us, we are available. Let's start off with an update on what we should and shouldn't be doing with our olives. The Olive King, Don Landis, is with us. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Gwen and Steve.
Good morning.
I do have an update about olive fruit fly spray and my free services, but I had one question for Gwen first. I have a number of people who are contacting me about what to do about their olive trees that were singed or looked damaged by the fires. So what are the signs that I can tell them to look for where they can still have the tree survive?
First of all, just don't do anything. Wait and see it where and if new growth comes out of the tree. Okay? And it depends on where on the property the tree was in relation to the fire. If it was next to a building or something that has been burning for a long time, chances are, you know, most of the tree is not going to, will have survived that. But if the tree was out in an open landscape and the fire went through fairly quickly, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes or less, then, you know, if the tree still has some, you know, growth, I mean, some energy left into it, some viability, then the tree will start rejuvenating and send out some more growth. So time will tell. That's the biggest thing people need to have is patience. You could also
don't snip at them or do anything to them until they see light.
Don't do anything. If they need water, okay, you can give them some water. You can make sure there's mulch underneath the tree to hold that water in. So you're doing what you can as far as keeping the tree's root system damp. Even though they are a drought-tolerant tree, what they went through, they couldn't hurt with getting a drink of water. You could also bend some of those scorched branches, and if they snap off, obviously they're dead. But if there's some pliability to them, leave them alone. Just leave the tree alone, water it, mulch it, and wait. You have to be patient, and you'll see if and when new growth is going to come out.
Great. Thanks, Gwen.
Okay, you're welcome.
Basically, what we were blessed this year, we had April showers to bring May flowers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
But all the olive trees are starting to flower, and I'm having a lot of people call me, and I wanted to offer to anyone or everybody, I do free consultations on organic olive fruit fry spray, and the main thing is to wait till all the flowers are gone, and if anybody wants to contact me through my website, Don's Olives, www.donsolives.com, or my email, olivedon@hotmail.com. OliveDawn@hotmail.com. I do free consultations, and I show people about organic trapping and spraying. There's a couple of different kinds of spraying, the GF120 and the Surround Clay, which is really the best, which a lot of people are using. And you can take care of the olive fruit fly, but now is the time, once the flowers are gone, to start thinking about your olive fruit fly problems. And I got free consultations out there for anybody who needs it.
Hey, I have a quick question, Don. Is that Surround Clay the same thing as kaolin clay? I mean, that's just
kaolin
a trade name?
Kaolin clay is the generic name, and Surround is the refined clay. Actually, Surround people say that their use of kaolin clay is more refined. And the funniest thing is, I was so paranoid about it because I went on a demonstration with Paul Vossen on the trees by the optometrist out in Kenwood probably 15 years ago, and I was always paranoid about it, and the GF120 was cheap then, but now because of cost and also the effectiveness, the first question I asked was, well, you're spraying them, how do the trees survive that? And they said that it doesn't impede the photosynthesis at all, and it actually helps the tree grow better.
Interesting.
It's amazing.
That's interesting.
I couldn't believe it, because I was, you know, aside from seeing the tree block, my wife Marion would always say, I don't want your olive trees white. But it actually works and it helps the tree. And the Surround and the kaolin clay have been used in the apple industry for a really long time, and probably other fruits like that.
Right, for that coddling moth. And even for the cherry fruit flies, it works really well.
Yeah.
Have you been out on a number of calls or received calls, Don, about olive that have been damaged in the fire to go out and take a look and evaluate?
Yep. I went to two already, and I got two in my email queue that I'm just waiting to connect to go out and help them out.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
No, just let people know it's free for me to come out. And, you know, so many people go through so much anguish with the olive fruit fly. It's so heartbreaking. I know I experienced it in 2003. And even to this day, having the olive fruit fly is really distressing. But I've been helping people, mostly with the kale and clay. Having people are just so happy being able to get their olives and not have the olive fruit fly be an issue.
I had somebody ask me one time, you spray the clay all over the tree, so your tree is grayish white looking. Mm-hmm. Now your fruits are developing and this and that. So I just wanted to let everybody know that because you're spraying the trees before the olives are on the trees, basically, the tree starts to grow and the olives are not touched by the clay. So people think, well, now you have that clay powder all over your olives. You're going to have to wash all that stuff off. But so, no, you think about it. You've sprayed before the olives came on, so they'll be fine. You don't need to clean them.
Well, not really 100%, Gwen, because you do have to do maintenance on them. The fly does the most damage when the fruit is really moving along, like August, September, and October, and you do have to keep spraying, and you do have to spray the fruit.
Okay.
So one time of the kaolin clay is not enough?
No.
Oh. Okay.
And actually, what I tell people and what the surround people told me, in the beginning, it takes sometimes two or three or four maybe sprays to get a really good effective covering on the tree. And then after that, you just have to do maintenance sprays. Like around here, we have fog. That'll kind of tend to wash it off. And one thing that'll really surprise people is if you have a really nicely flocked tree where it's white or that, you know, the whitish color all over it, and you wake up in the morning, there's a heavy dew, it'll look green, and you'll go, oh, gosh, it washed it all off. But as soon as it dries, it's white again.
Mm-hmm. So that's the problem. People have only been spraying this one time, thinking they have a good coat over the tree, a good covering, and so that's not very effective. You need to spray a few more times.
Not effective. And you want to hear, you know, it's like in my refrigeration business, I hear everything. I had people tell me that the people told them to spray the trunk of the tree, and they don't have to worry about spraying the top.
Well, that was supposed to be for that, what was it, the spinosad stuff.
Yeah.
Spraying the trunk.
Even that's a crack-up. I mean, that's just not it. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So the important thing to remember is that Don is available for a consultation, and what's the best way to reach you, Don?
OliveDon at hotmail.com.
OliveDon.
OliveDon at hotmail.com.
Thank you. You're providing a marvelous service. We hope to hear from you again soon. Thanks, Don.
Great info.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Take All care, Gwen and Steve. Happy olives, everybody.
Don Landis, the irrepressible olive king of Sonoma County. Back to your calls after the news break at the bottom of the hour. This is KSRO in Santa Rosa, California.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Michael O'Shea, president of Amaturo Sonoma Media and KSRO here, an avid golfer. We are blessed to have the world's best golfing weather here in Sonoma County. Crisp mornings, sunny days, and delightful twilight. My favorite golf club is Oakmont. Two great courses, a par 72, great for the experienced player, and a shorter par 63, ideal for seniors, beginners, or golfers who just want to work on the short game. Both with stunning panoramic views of the beautiful Valley of the Moon and the rolling hills of Sonoma Wine Country. Folks, this is world-class golf. If you're serious about your passion, it's a great time to join with Oakmont Summer Member Drive through September. Unlimited golf at just $249 per month. And get this, the usual $500 initiation is waived when you say, KSRO sent me. Golf when you want it, priority tee times, and now a summer special. Sonoma County's most scenic 36-hole golf club. Go to oakmontgc.com or tell your smartphone to
call Oakmont Golf Club in Santa Rosa. No one likes to live with the mess and inconvenience of home improvement projects. That's why Milgard makes it so easy for you to replace your old, drafty, hard-to-open windows. Often it takes less than a day to improve the look and value of your home with reliable, energy-efficient Milgard replacement windows. Milgard's dependable delivery means you get the right windows at the right time. And because most jobs use your existing frames and openings, it minimizes the mess. Plus, you don't have to worry about disposing of your old windows. Milgard makes it easy to get home improvement done. Call DJ's Sash and Glass today for Milgard windows. DJ's can furnish and install a variety of shower door enclosures too. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ's Sash and Glass. 2985 Wilton Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com.
Mix, mingle, and make your next career move with the winning team at Graton Resort and Casino. Pop into our hiring event Tuesday, May 15th, 5:30 to 7:30, and see what it takes to be a team member. We're hiring for a variety of positions with great hourly pay, plus a whole lot of happy guests. Bring a valid photo ID for an exclusive property tour. Apply for any food and beverage or slot department position by May 15th at GraytonResortCasino.com for your free Grayton swag bag. It all happens May 15th at 5:30.
811 is a free service to keep our community safe. Before you do any project, big or small, PG&E will come out and mark your gas and electric lines so you don't hit them when you dig. Call 811 before you dig and make sure that you and your neighbors are safe.
A symbolic event leading up to the summit between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. North Korea saying it will hold a ceremony for the dismantling of its northeastern nuclear test site on May 23rd through the 25th. President Trump declaring a major disaster in Hawaii following a request by the state's governor as volcanic activity continues to wreak havoc. Fear of a steam explosion from the summit of Kilauea, in addition to the fissures opening up, spewing lava and toxic gas. Former New York mayor and business mogul Mike Bloomberg donating a cherry tree to Rice University as a reminder of George Washington's cherry tree story, calling on graduates to protect democracy by demanding honesty of lawmakers.
Throughout your life, when you chop down a cherry tree, as we all do from time to time, admit it and demand nothing less from those who represent us.
Delivering the commencement address at Rice today, Bloomberg asked how we could, quote, go from a president who could not tell a lie to politicians who cannot tell the truth. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Cooler temperatures are on the way. Today, sunny at 82, 67 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 49. Cooler tomorrow at 67, 56 in Bodega Bay. Partly cloudy skies. Monday, a few clouds at 68, 58 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Mix, mingle, and make your next career move with Graton Resort and Casino. Our property-wide hiring event is May 15th. Visit GraytonResortCasino.com for more details.
It is Garden Talk Live at KSRO. If you didn't know, today is the big Ironman, the big race, and that's going to affect a lot of roads in and around Santa Rosa. There's a lot of road closures. You can get all this information online, but it would be real important for you within the next hour or so if you're planning on being in the area of downtown Santa Rosa, north, south, 9th Street, A Street to B Street, 5th Street, 3rd Street, D Street, any of those areas around Santa Rosa, to make sure you know where the streets are going to be closed, because you're going to be inconvenienced. I promise you that. And the race starts at 11 o'clock and it's going to go most all day. So make sure you go online and find out information about road closures. Okay. 636-1350 if you want to reach Garden Talk now with Gwen and Steve, or Steve at KSRO.com. So do you have all your tomato plants in, all your bean plants, your pepper plants, everything's planted, Gwen, so far?
No.
because I have not planted my tomato plants. It's the latest I've ever been. And I don't think it's too late, is it? Things catch up pretty quickly as the ground warms up the soil.
I usually start planting and sowing in the second week of May anyway. Usually after Mother's Day, you know, finish with that. And then I get out in the garden. I have some things in the ground, but only a tenth of what I need to plant.
So don't think that you're too late out there in radio land. Plenty of time to get your tomatoes and green beans and everything else in that you want to dine on this summer.
You know, you think about it. You know, we have such a long growing season. You're never really too late until maybe you start getting into fall. So don't think about planting tomato plants or eggplants or something in August, September, of course. So you figure how many days it would take for that fruit to ripen. And then you think, okay, if I'm putting it in the ground in September and it takes, you know, 85, 90 days to get my tomatoes, well, you're already into the cold weather. So, you know, winter squash, you know, that takes 110 days to mature. So you want to get those in the ground sooner than later. And so you just have to look at how long it takes for the plants to be mature, for the fruits to be mature. And then you go, okay, I still have time to plant. And there's, you know, planting in succession. You know, the beans, carrots, even radishes, cucumbers, they grow, they're ready in like 65, 75 days. You can plant those every 2 or 3 weeks if you want. Sow seeds or plant. So when one starts to peter out, then you've got more coming on. And corn, especially, that's a good one.
You're going to plant corn again?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, I'll plant corn. So, you know, think of planting in succession too. And don't worry about planting anything or thinking you're too late.
You're
know,
not.
Unless it's going to take 90 to 100 days. And like I said, you're planting in August, September. Yeah. Then you're in December. So forget it.
So I did my spraying for my roses this year using good old Dr. Bronner's Castile Peppermint Soap.
Oh, I have
it. In my 1-2 gallon sprayer.
Yeah.
Carried that around. And knock on wood, the aphids really got knocked back. Probably the most successful year we've had for rose growing as far as aphids. They were pretty vociferous. I think is the word.
Ferocious.
Ferocious, too, in March, April. And then once I hit it with the spray, it knocked them back really bad, and they have not returned. So that was good.
Good. Good.
If you have a lot of roses, we only have 10, 12, but I would think that people that have, gosh, you know, an eighth or a quarter of an acre and have to spray, that'd be hard carrying a backpack sprayer around, 1 or 2 gallons. Do you have any tips for us?
Oh, that's, yeah, speaking of roses and spraying and stuff. We were in Mexico with my father-in-law's neighbors, and they have a blueberry farm, and they spray the Bermuda grass and little grasses and stuff with that high percentage of
the vinegar. Oh.
Yeah, that strong vinegar spray. Uh-huh. But they don't carry around their 2-gallon sprayer. It's just too much to go walking around carrying this thing. So Judy is her name. She went and got a small, like a luggage carrier thing that you could buy at Harbor Freight or something.
A rolling luggage
cart. Oh, yeah, rolling luggage cart. Like you see the flight attendants have or the pilots when they put their, you know, briefcases and stuff on that thin little metal briefcase carrying thing. And she tied her sprayer to that
with the bungee cord.
And drags that around behind her and sprays. That way she's not carrying that thing over a half an acre of property. So if you have, you know, sore shoulders or back or knees or something, and it's hard for you to walk around carrying that sprayer, and when I'm talking any size sprayer, really, you know, get one of those little cheapy luggage carriers, metal, and it collapses when you're done with it. You pull it out. And there you go. Why didn't I think of that?
Brilliant idea. A little rolling luggage cart to
pull your sprayer around.
Your sprayer in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great idea.
Back after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk KSRO 103.5 94.5.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden and La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm fresh eggs, delicious cheeses and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, hothouse tomatoes, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. The best choices for food vendors include Minhee Hill's authentic Korean cuisine and La Ta Indian cuisine. They've returned with their exotic dishes, and Eli's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market this spring, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503. 707-322-8503.
Spoil Mom this Mother's Day with Sunday brunch or dinner at the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides in beautiful Bodega Bay. Let the mom in your life enjoy the beauty of the Bayview Restaurant overlooking the water with gorgeous views of Bodega Bay. She can start with a complimentary mimosa, then enjoy appetizers like lobster bisque or roasted beet arugula and goat cheese salad with orange and almonds, then drizzled with balsamic. Entrees include the Bayview or smoked salmon Benedict, fresh grilled salmon, or a grilled filet with Cabernet glaze and roasted cipollini onions. Stay overnight and enjoy the special spring rates starting from $169 a night. Mother's Day brunch and dinner at the Bayview Restaurant from 10:30 to 7. Reserve your spot now. Children 12 and under are half priced. The Inn at the Tides. It's less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
It's Garden Talk live at KSRO, 636-1350. If you want to join us live in the KSRO greenhouse, we have lines available. You can get on without waiting. If you want to call now before the 10 o'clock break, or Steve at KSRO.com. So that it is heating up. We're getting temperatures into the 80s. And before we know it, we're going to be faced with some irrigation issues. So we should be mulching, probably making sure to mulch.
It's always a good idea to cover up bare soil here and there, especially when you're watering plants, and it helps keep any kind of mulch. Could be made out of anything. Anything you put on top of the soil to cover the soil is mulch. And so what it's made of could be rocks, bark chips, any kind of organic matter you put on the soil, and whether it be straw, even a whole ton of alfalfa pellets. I mean, whatever you want to put on top of the soil is called mulch. And it's great to use organic material, something that will break down, because over time, that as that breaks down, all those microorganisms are happy and you start getting a lot of goodies added to the soil, nutrients and whatnot, and it improves the soil texture and structure, and you don't have to be using any fertilizers. And like I've been saying for all these years, depending on your soil, if you have a real sandy soil and you put organic matter on the top, well, it's going to take a long time for anything to be really happy because there's no nutrients really in sandy soil.
Okay.
So you need to incorporate organic matter, and so, then also put it on top of the ground as mulch.
So chips, redwood chips, fir chips are good for mulch.
It is. If you have an area where you don't plan on doing any planting, you just need to cover the soil to keep the weeds down. Maybe you're going to use it as a walkway. So bark is good for those areas that you're not going to disturb, like under your fruit trees even, around shrubs and things. And so it's not disturbed. It'll help keep the weeds down and keep the water in.
You know, I was always so anti-shredded redwood bark, that shredded stuff. I never thought there was a good use for it until I had lived on an area where it had a slope. The redwood, the shredded stuff didn't, unlike the chips, wash down a slope.
Right, because that acts like a mat.
So that was a good application for the shredded.
Unfortunately, that's like one of the big reasons why a lot of landscapes went up in fire.
Because it's so flammable.
Yeah, extremely flammable. So if you do live in a fire-prone area, then that's probably something you don't want to use anymore.
Okay.
And so, you know, and then here we go. It's like, what are we going to use? Organic matter, you know, like I use my composted horse manure. That would be a good substitute. And like I said, that organic matter breaks down and adds goodies to the soil all the time and helps feed the soil.
Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. What can we do for you this morning? Hi.
Oh, good morning. Hey, I have a long kind of fence about 50 feet, and I don't want to actually look at it. It's kind of a city fence, kind of a chain link fence, and I was wondering what's not going to be too wide and bushy that would, you know, that grow like 8-10 feet tall, maybe.
Something that's going to grow 8-10 feet. How wide can it get?
Oh, it can get wide. I just don't want to. Well, actually, I don't want to lose my yard, but I want to kind of block the fence, so. Maybe not. I'd rather have like an assortment of different plants that I could
put
in there. Or not plants, but I mean like little trees or something.
Shrubs?
Yeah, you're probably best. 8 to 10 feet is really not a definition of a tree, but a large shrub. You can call it a large shrub. Some people do call it a small tree. But how much sun is it going to get in this area?
It's going to get morning sun, and they're close to redwood trees. So in the afternoon, like around 2 or 3, they would probably be in the shade, but in the morning they would get sun.
Okay. What I have growing in my yard, it's a little bit of a slow grower, but it's absolutely bomb-proof, and I love it, and I hardly ever water it, is Luma. L-U-M-A. Wow. And I know it's Luma apiculata. And that might be the common name to it as well. But it has tiny little purpley blackish berries on it. And the leaves are very small. They're shiny green. Has a really interesting shaggy kind of peely bark to it. And when you brush up against it, it has a nice faint cinnamony smell to it. I love plant. I mean, I just love it. And I don't do anything to it. And you would probably plant them like 4 feet apart because they do grow slow.
It's evergreen.
Yeah. It's evergreen. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That and you know what? And I'd kind of like to like put a few different kinds so it's just one big mass. But
yeah.
You know what I mean?
What else would go well
with
that?
I'm also thinking what else I have is Azara. A-Z is in zebra. A-R-A. Azara. I think that might be the common name as well. I don't remember the species name, but Azara, that has like these fringy yellowy flowers on them that are very pretty. And it's also evergreen, I think. I can't quite remember. But that's a nice plant.
What about some old school ones like Italian buckthorn?
That needs all sun.
It needs more sun.
That's sun.
Okay.
Sun
and Pittosporum?
That needs all sun.
Okay. I'm thinking more Photinia. Sun.
That gets that horrible fungal leaf spot.
Oleander?
No, sun.
Sun. Too much sun. So that's the issue.
Yeah, he has a shadier area, which I can think of a lot of.
That boxwoods?
Sun.
Sun again?
Yes,
really?
Sun.
It does get quite a bit of morning sun.
Yeah, but a sun-loving plant wants sun all day long.
Okay.
And then you think about it. We have a lot of summer days in the morning where it's foggy. And then we don't get sun maybe till 9, 10, 11 o'clock. And by that time, the sun starts to come out, and then the plant hasn't had any sun, and then it's in shade, so it has no sun all day. So that's not what a sun-loving plant wants.
Now, what about like a camellia? Would
camellias, yes. Yeah. There you go. Why didn't I think of camellias? Camellias would be very nice. And you have varieties that will grow, that will bloom in the winter, late winter, early spring, and then you have some that will bloom in the late spring, early summer. So those would be nice. And you can pick the varieties that do grow more upright than horizontal. So, yeah.
Right.
Rhododendrons or no?
They're too short. And then, they're short. They by the time they got to be the varieties, they get into 8 to 10 feet. Yeah. You know, the hydrangeas are pretty, well, they're not going to get 8 to 10 feet.
Mm-hmm. No.
So,
maybe I can plant
barberry?
Plant some areas.
Sun. No, you know what? If you wanted to grow a couple plants that will lose their leaves, the viburnum, there is, it's mostly evergreen. Check out Viburnum burkwoodii.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's just, it's a viburnum. B as in boy, U-R-K-W-O-O-D-I-I, burkwoodii. It's a viburnum burkwoodii. I think it's more evergreen than deciduous. I'm thinking that's what I have on my yard, too. It has these big, beautiful clusters of white flowers that just perfume the whole yard.
Oh, great.
So there's a few suggestions. The Luma looks like your fave.
I love Luma, Azara.
Azara.
The Viburnum, burkwoodii.
Yeah.
There's even a Viburnum. Camellias. Mm-hmm. There's even a Viburnum variety called Spring Bouquet. But that you'll have to put where it's going to get the most sun, because that would prefer a little bit more sun than shade. But that mine is getting shady, and it looks fine. That's another viburnum. Viburnum, and the variety you're looking for is Spring Bouquet.
Right, great.
So there are some suggestions for you, Jim.
Well, great suggestions. Okay, thank you very much.
They'll all get big. You don't have to do any maintenance to anybody except the camellias. If you get any issues with the flowers, and they drop. Well, if you can leave them on the ground, fine. If not, you rake them up. But those are some nice plants.
Great, excellent. I appreciate it.
What about, wax myrtle? Would that be something that...
Sun.
And again, everyone I'm choosing requires too much. They're good plants, but they require a lot of sun.
And a lot of the ones I'm thinking of lose their leaves.
But those few are tried and true, Jim, so give any of those a shot, okay?
Oh, okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hey, keep us posted. I want to know what you've come up with.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Good hearing from you. 636-1350, this is about hour number one of Garden Talk. We have a full hour to go. And then Chef John Ash in the Chaos Auto Kitchen welcoming Chef Mitch Rosenthal from San Francisco. He's coming up. He and his brother Steven own three of the most popular restaurants in San Francisco for the past 15 years. It's called Town Hall is their flagship restaurant. They have a wonderful cookbook, which I know you're going to enjoy a great deal. And I think we'll be tasting some great Southern-inspired food from Chef Mitch Rosenthal and the Town Hall Cookbook. One of you will win an autographed copy of the Town Hall Cookbook during the Good Food Hour, live from 11 till noon this morning. After the news, we'll meet a wonderful guest who's a frequent contributor to Garden Talk. That's coming up next.
Play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
For over 40 years, Four Seasons has been a leader in the field of home remodeling with specialty in-room additions and patio covers. A Four Seasons addition incorporates seamless integration with your home style. Sonoma County Sunrooms, or SoCo Sun, is your local authorized Four Seasons sunroom dealer and awning specialist with an interactive showroom and design center right here on Santa Rosa Avenue.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms. We work with homeowners and property owners just like you and provide options for your outdoor living area with products that enhance your lifestyle. From our new Edition 365 to elite garden rooms for specialty plants, open concept life rooms, and retractable awnings, our team at Sonoma County Sunrooms has you covered.
Visit SoCoSun.com today or stop by and take advantage of the 5-year workmanship and factory product warranty for no extra charge. For additions, think Sonoma County Sunrooms. Design, installations, remodel.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is Garden Talk Live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner, live in the KSRO greenhouse, along with Gwen Kilcher. And our good friend Rachel Spaeth is with us as we speak. Hello, Rachel.
Good morning and happy allergy season to everyone.
From the Luther Burbank Gardens in beautiful Santa Rosa, California. Those gardens, of course, are our spiritual namesake, Luther Burbank. And it's up and going, and Rachel comes in a few times a year to tell us about special activities that are going on at the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens. And I think there's something called Mother's Day
tomorrow. Yeah. You're supposed to celebrate your mother tomorrow. And so we're doing this big event. We've got lots of hands-on activities for kids. It's $3 to get in if you're an adult, or if you're under 12, it's free. We have a huge plant sale that we're doing, and we're releasing the white blackberry this year, which is exciting. And then we're also going to have like a leaf rubbing station, and you can come paint clay pots. And
did you say a leaf rubbing station?
Yeah. My 6-year-old daughter is going to be in charge of teaching people how to do leaf rubbings.
Wow. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Does she do these at 6 years old?
She does. I took her to class with me one day, and she needed something to do. So I taught her how to do leaf rubbings, and now she's kind of obsessed with it a little bit.
And are you also sniffing roses?
We are. We're going to do a rose smelling competition. So it's a little blind squeezy accordion device. And you squeeze it and you waft. And then you have to guess what color the rose is. And I have a very nice Marjorie Fair rose that will be the grand prize for that. Which is kind of ironic because the Marjorie Fair is not a scented rose.
And we'll talk more after the news.
This is FM News Talk Radio at 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM. KSRO Santa Rosa.
I'm Dave Packer. North Korea announcing a major step ahead of a summit between leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump. The North saying it will hold a ceremony for the dismantling of its northeastern nuclear test site on May 23rd through the 25th. And if North Korea gives up its nuclear program entirely, the U.S. says aid will follow. So does ABC's Connor Finnegan.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. wants to have North Korea as a close partner, not a sworn enemy. After meeting Kim Jong-un for a second time, Pompeo says the two had a warm conversation where he offered American help if North Korea ends its nuclear program.
If North Korea takes bold action to quickly denuclearize, the United States is prepared to work with North Korea to achieve prosperity on the par with our South Korean friends.
He said the two countries are now in, quote, complete agreement on the objectives for President Trump's summit with Kim, which is set for June 12th in Singapore. Connor Finnegan, ABC News, the State Department.
Help for Hawaii, a presidential disaster declaration for the Big Island amid warnings that there could be a steam explosion that comes out of the crater at the summit of the Kilauea volcano any day now.
to Hawaii and ABC's Marcy Gonzalez.
Geologists say there have been ongoing small earthquakes, which gives them an indication that more fissures could still open. And because of that, residents who have not evacuated are being warned to be on alert because they may have to get out at a moment's notice.
Some 1,800 people have already been evacuated. The White House distancing itself from President Trump's longtime attorney Michael Cohen and the shell companies that he set up after the election. Companies giving Cohen money in exchange for access to the White House. ABC News Chief National Affairs Correspondent Tom Yamas.
From what we know, Michael Cohen was not a registered lobbyist, but so many are saying that's exactly what he was doing. Legal experts tell us what is really unusual is that Michael Cohen had these clients at the same time he was the personal attorney to the president.
AT&T CEO said that the company made a big mistake, his words, in hiring Cohen as a political consultant. You're listening to ABC News.
Okay, from the start.
The acerola cherry.
Alfalfa leaf, aloe vera, apples, asparagus, banana.
Beets, bell pepper, broccoli.
Blueberries, blackberries, cranberry.
I make my Texas superfood from 55 raw, vine-ripened fruits and vegetables.
Mangosteen.
Pineapple, sweet potato.
Papaya, parsley, peach.
You can see all 55 on TexasSuperfood.com.
Raspberry, spinach, all of the nutrients that we need on a daily basis.
You know, it's been barely a week, and already my skin is better.
I lost 60 pounds. I mean, that's huge.
Since I've been on superfood, I haven't been sick.
I'm Dennis Black here in Dallas, Texas. Wouldn't you rather be healthy, energetic, and fit?
It's borderline shocking how much energy I have.
Join us on TexasSuperfood.com.
TexasSuperfood.com.
Or call 877-55-TEXAS. That's 877-55-TEXAS. 877-55-TEXAS. Or
TexasSuperfood.com.
Waffle House is launching an internal investigation sparked over what's being called excessive police force in a small North Carolina town. A video that's gone viral shows a young black man in a tuxedo being put in a chokehold by a police officer outside of a Waffle House in Wausau, North Carolina. 22-year-old Anthony Wall says he went there with his younger sister after her prom, but they got into an argument with employees. The police called, and then an officer pushed Wall up against a plate glass window, choking him. ABC's Ariel Reshef has more.
Wall was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. Waffle House is conducting an internal review. But remember, this incident comes just a few weeks after that episode at a Waffle House in Alabama where a woman was dragged to the floor from her chair, the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. now calling for a boycott of Waffle House.
The Wausau mayor has defended the officer's actions, saying the arrest was not racially motivated. Two Navy SEAL team leaders are being investigated for alleged sexual offenses, as we hear from ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon.
Both of the senior leaders of a Navy SEAL team in East Africa were sent stateside as the Navy investigates sexual misconduct allegations. Defense officials say one of the team leaders is under investigation for the alleged inappropriate touching of a female service member. Both are being investigated for allegations of sexual harassment. Louis Martinez, ABC News, the Pentagon.
And this is ABC News.
Do you owe the IRS more than $10,000? Do you have tax problems? Pick up your mobile phone and dial **1234 on your keypad. This is attorney John Buckmiller, founder of Attorneys Tax Relief. We have experts that know how to help you out of the mess with the IRS. We can help stop wage garnishment, levies, and harassment. Get out of debt and settle with the IRS. Remember, it's as easy as **1234. Don't wait any longer. Dial **1234. That's **1234 on your mobile phone now.
I'm Dave Packer.
Minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market.
I like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air.
And
are all they need to grow.
Oh.
Do I have to get specific?
Shoo. we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls, but they need all the
It's Garden Talk, hour number two at KSRO, North Bay News Talk Radio in Santa Rosa. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO greenhouse, answering questions at 636-1350. No carries over from hour number one. We can start fresh. And we're joined by the garden curator for the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens, Rachel Spaeth. Rachel is a botanist. She's an entomologist. She is a scholar, a researcher, and also the plant curator for the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens, also a great gardener on her own behalf, and can certainly help in assisting and diagnosing any and all plant problems since she is an entomologist. 636-1350, lots going on at Mother's Day tomorrow at the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens. Besides the run it by again, because we had to squeeze in the last 2 minutes of the 9 o'clock hour, what time does the festivities get underway?
Sure, yeah. So you want to come at 11 o'clock. It goes from 11 to 3. It costs $3 to get in. If you're an adult, if you're under 12, it's free. And that $3 gets you into the house. We'll have docents stationed in each room of the house that can talk to you about all the cool things that are in the house. And then we're serving tea and lemonade in the greenhouse. We have a lady from Sonoma State who's working on her master's in early child education who's going to take kids out on photography tours every half an hour. So she'll give your children a small photography lesson, and then they get to take lots of pictures. And actually in the greenhouse this year, she put together a really fun display that was photography from kids age 2 to 5. And it's really interesting to see how they see the gardens. Because they're short, right? So they notice all the low things that you don't notice. So that's really cool. And then we'll do leaf rubbings and clay pot painting. I have lots of sunflower seeds to share with everybody from sunflowers that we collected last year. Wow. So people can take home seeds. We'll have bouquets for sale and lots of plants. I know that most people have probably already had the gardening bug and picked up their 5 varieties of tomatoes. But you need 7, so come and get 2 more. The ones that we have are all heirlooms, and there's a couple that were bred by Boarhead Farms?
Brad Gates?
Yes.
Wild Boar Farms?
Yes, Wild Boar Farms over in Napa. So I've got a couple of his really cool varieties and lots of other fun things. So it's going to be a really fun event. Rose smelling competition. We're going to have the antique 1926 Dodge out that you can wear fun hats and take pictures with.
That's so cool.
I mean, you might not be able to do everything in the 4 hours that we have available for people to do it. But, 11 to 3, come on down, $3. I'm sure you can eat $3 worth of cookies in the clay pots,
And drink $3 worth of lemonade.
$3 worth of lemonade, yeah.
And to see your adorable daughter.
And she's hilarious.
Teaching people how to do rubbings.
Yep, absolutely. And it's just really, really beautiful this year.
You said she's hilarious. Can you imagine her daughter not being hilarious with Rachel?
No.
With Rachel's brain?
What's her name?
Her name is Araya Violet.
Araya Violet.
She's kind of like Araya Sunshine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it with the pots, the pottery? What are you doing with
that? Oh, yeah. So I bring tempera paints and like 4-inch clay pots, and I let kids paint the pots, and then I do a little spray glaze on the top of them so they stay good forever. I've had one that my daughter painted when she was 3 years old, and it hasn't faded at all. And we water it, we plant things in it, water it.
We had the pleasure of interviewing the rose-sniffing champion on Garden Talk last year.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, Gwen, you were quite good. Remember when Rachel brought in several of the roses last year? I missed all of them. I think you brought in 4 varieties. I was wrong on every single one. And you got all of them right, like which one was yellow, which one was red, which one was a purple.
Purple. I did a pink and an orange, I think.
And some people just have a natural affinity, an olfactory gift. And Gwen, I think you have this olfactory gift.
No, being that I was the plant buyer for Callaway's and we sold thousands of varieties, and I had like 500 on my property.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Chances are pretty good I would remember a smell or two.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there a prize for the sniffing champ this year?
Oh, there is. I have a Marjorie Fair rose, which is a really beautiful climbing rose. It's like a purplish maroony on the outside with a white center, and it's a rebloomer. So you can plant it where you have an arbor or a space that you need a rose to grow wild in, and It'll do that for
you. It has a good
you.
Scent?
It actually has no scent.
Oh, it's a scent. You're giving a scentless rose to the rose-sniffing champion.
Yes.
Well, it's your show. You can do whatever you dang well please.
I mean, if somebody really wants, I could give them like a gift certificate for plants if they want that instead.
What is gastro obscura?
Oh, yes. Gastro obscura is the food portion of a nationally renowned travel magazine that featured a piece on my genetics work on Luther Burbank's plums recently.
It was a great article.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good article. She did a really good job of translating scientific information to a general audience, I think. And a lot of people have come up and told me, you know, I really actually understand your research now. This is pretty cool.
Can you, in clear, understandable terms, explain what your research is? This is for your master's or doctorate?
This is for my doctorate at UC Davis. Yeah, uh-huh. So I can try. Luther Burbank was the first person to cross a plum with an apricot, and he was bad at taking notes. So because he didn't want people to steal his ideas, no patents in his day. You have to be very sneaky with your intellectual property. So he would take a piece of fruit and trace it on a piece of paper and then smash it on there. And anywhere that there's tissue on that fruit, I can extract a genome from. Mm-hmm. So we're comparing the prints to the living collection. And he introduced over 250 different cultivars of plum apricot crosses and plums. And so I'm collecting as many as I can find. I'm up to about 35 right now. So a little more than 10%. I've got a lot of work to do. But, you know, just from having this article out there, a lot of people have been contacting me that live in the area and say, oh, my grandfather was Luther Burbank's bookkeeper for 3 years, and we have plums in our backyard still. Do you want leaf samples? And I'm like, yeah, I'll come out for leaf samples, fruit samples, and maybe I'll graft some at the gardens too.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's really exciting. So the way that they actually found me is I'm going to be a guest speaker at the Festival of Fruit for the California Rare Fruit Growers this year. And they read my profile on the speaker's website for that.
Where's the Festival of Fruit?
Oh, that's going to be in Santa Clara this year.
And it's all the chapters of the Redwood of the Rare Fruit Growers in California?
Yeah, all of the chapters are coming. So that'll be exciting. We are talking about doing it here again in the Redwood Empire. And that's not going to be next year. It might be 2 years down the road, but I'll definitely keep you guys privy for when that's going to happen.
Wow. And so when you publish this dissertation, what happens after that? It's reviewed. People go, good job. Here's your degree. And then you're a doctor.
That's pretty much it.
Dr. Spaeth.
Yeah. So I'm kind of hoping that this launches more genetic investigation into Luther Burbank's creation. So at the gardens, we have the Amacrinum cross, which he called dressing the naked lady. You've got crinum lilies and amaryllis, and he was able to cross it so that you have something that has leaves and flowers at the same time. It was a genetic anomaly then. And so, but since I have both parents and the offspring, we can do a paternity test on there and maybe figure out what's going on.
So is the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens the best, the most extensive repository of plums anywhere there is in the country?
No, it's just Burbank's plums. So the extensive repository that I work with actually is called Wolfskill. It's run through the Agricultural Resource Service branch of the USDA, and it's over in Winters, California. Oh. They have thousands of varieties of plums, and the Burbank collection is just a portion of that. Oh. They actually were not aware of which ones were Burbank's until I came in and said, hey, these are the ones that I want to study that you guys have. A lot of it includes wild type species and then other just really ancient varieties. Pretty much anything that's not patented is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many plum trees do you have on the property?
I have... in the orchard itself that has the repository, there's 35, but it's only on five trunks.
Five trunks, so they've been grafted.
Yeah, so they're all multi-grafted, and I'm really hoping most of them have fruit on it this year. If I can keep the people out of them, it should be a really beautiful display of all different colors. It'll be a rainbow of plums in there.
And what do you do with the harvested fruit?
We give it to our volunteers. We've got a huge volunteer organization. I'm going to take some with me to this tasting. For the Festival of Fruit, I've put out sharing baskets if we have an abundance so people can have them but not pick them, because what happens is people climb my trees and then I end up with like 4-inch broken branches because somebody really wanted a piece of fruit, and that It's very heartbreaking.
Oh. They're going to climb the tree at the Luther Burbank Garden
Center. Oh, yeah. All the time. It's the whole reason we cut down the cherry, because people were sending their kids up in there.
No signs that say, please do not.
Well, that's the thing. Somebody brought it to my attention last year. I've been there for over a decade, and last year they brought it to my attention that there are no signs in the gardens that say don't pick the fruit. And I said, oh, silly me. So this year I'm going to hang signs, which are legitimate, that say do not pick the fruit, experiment in progress, because that's my research. If somebody breaks off one of those branches, I might not be able to get that plum variety again.
Hey, if you catch them in the act, then there's a fine. Put it towards your research money.
Yeah. Oh, that's for the price of running that sample.
Linda, good morning and welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you this morning?
Well, I sent you a couple of pictures of my lemon tree. I don't know if you got them.
We are looking at your lemon tree as we speak.
Okay. And so my question to you guys is, does it look good or bad, or how often should I be watering it? My lemons look like limes because they're so green. They've been green for quite a long time.
Well, they're not quite, this isn't quite lemon season yet. So it, to me, how long has this lemon been in this pot?
I would say probably 2 years now, because when I first got them, they were much smaller. And this last year is the first year, like this winter, this last fall winter is when I got so many little flowers. And then, of course, the winds and the cold came, and we tried protecting it, but it looks like, I don't know if it got frostbite, you know, because some of the, you could tell by some of the branches look like they're been eaten off or broke off.
Do you have deer out there?
No.
Okay, no deer. Well, we don't have the best photos of your lemon tree here in a pot. It's a nice little decorative pot. It's been in there for 2 years. I see how the trunk is fairly thin, and it has like a little 1 by 1 or less inch stake that's supporting it. So, and then the leaves look fairly green and healthy, but they're curling. And then you have some leaves towards the bottom of the plant that are turning yellow. But for the size of this plant, which looks like it's about 2.5 feet high, maybe 2 feet wide, there are not a lot of leaves that should be on this plant for something this size. And I see some flowers that are browning, so they probably did their, they bloom, they were pollinated or not, and they're dying off, and that's why they're brown. So is this plant getting sun all day long?
Like right now, it's got partial shade, and the sun is hitting the leaves as, you know, the sun is coming up a little bit higher.
So it'll be in sun this afternoon all the way until this evening?
Yes.
Okay, so sun all day. How is it getting watered? How has it been getting watered?
Just I hand water it.
Okay, and have you been fertilizing it with anything over the years it's been in this pot?
Actually, yes, we do the citrus stake.
Okay. So,
and then I actually sprinkled a little bit of just all-purpose fertilizer in the dirt a couple of weeks ago, just to, you know, maybe give it a little.
Okay. Well, there's a number of things going on here. It doesn't like where it's growing. Is this pot sitting on soil?
No, they're sitting on like cement slabs.
Okay, so the drainage holes aren't plugged up. Okay, how often are you watering this plant? I wanted to ask.
Well, I just kind of like you said, look at it dry. I give it a little drink.
And how often are you looking at it to give it a drink? Like how many times a week do you think you're getting out there?
Oh, probably, you know, 3 times a week.
Okay.
3-4 times. I mean, I'm out here every day usually watering something, but I try not to overwater it, but when it looks like it's kind of dry, then I give them a drink.
Okay. Have you ever stuck your fingers down in the soil or used a moisture meter to see 6 inches deep how wet or dry that soil is compared to the surface that you're looking at before you water it?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I have not.
So looks can be deceiving. The top of the soil can look like it's dried out because it's, you know, facing the sun and it's drying out. It's exposed to the sun. And then you go down even 2 inches. And then the further down you go into the pot, the deeper down into the pot, the wetter the soil can be. Okay?
Right.
And so if you're watering this 2 or 3 times a week, that's probably too much for this plant. And you know, so it doesn't have as many leaves as it should. It could be teetering on root rot. The curling leaves, I mean, you might have some aphids in there or scale that are sucking the juice out of the leaves, causing them to curl. So you can take a few of those, uncurl them, and get a magnifying glass and look in there and see if you see any insects, any scales or aphids that are sucking the juice out. Then you know that's why the leaves are curling, and you'll have to deal with that insect issue. But if you don't see anything in there, then it's a physiological thing that's happening with the plant, because it's just, it's like an environmental thing, but you can say that it's, in your situation here, he's just not happy. So don't use those stakes, the fertilizer stakes, because it concentrates all this fertilizer in that spot. Instead of feeding the whole root system, it's only feeding or overfeeding certain spots. Maybe you can even see from this, from the plant, one side of the plant looks greener than the other side, but that could be where the fertilizer stake is, or it could be because the greener part is getting more shade than sun. So if this was my tree, I would take out this stake that it's tied to. I would do a little bit of pruning in there to get out all this tiny little stuff, though, those little tiny spaghetti looking branches that aren't doing anything. They don't have any leaves on them. They don't have any flowers. They have nothing on them. Just prune all that stuff out and maybe get a bigger pot and transplant it into a bigger pot. And then you go in to check and make sure that this tree, this plant here, is not planted too deep in this soil. Okay. So when you transplant it into a bigger pot, make sure that, you know, push the soil away from the trunk and make sure that the trunk has not been under the soil all this time, causing another problem. Okay, you want the trunk to be above ground and only the roots to be in the soil.
Okay.
So when you get a bigger pot, you're going to put some soil in there, tamp it down a bit, and see, you know, push this, tilt this pot over and slide this plant out. Make sure the root system's wet. Okay, slide it out, and then you might need two people to do this. And gently lift up under the root ball and put it into the new pot. Have somebody hold that plant to make sure it doesn't go teetering, you know, falling over or anything. Add some more soil, keep adding soil, tamp it down, and make sure that only the roots are covered with the soil. And then you have maybe an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches of pot that you can see. So the soil is like 2 inches down in the pot. Okay, don't fill it all the way up to the top of the pot so there's nowhere for water to go. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I have one more quick question then. Should I put them, I could put them in a sunnier location in the backyard where they would get sun all day long.
That's what they would like. Yes. That's what this plant would like. Sun all day long would be wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, and I have gotten a couple orange trees because I've been wanting them. Do they also have to have sun all day? Or I've seen other people's where they're planted in between two houses and they're not getting all that sun, but the oranges are just, you know, an abundance of oranges and they get shade.
And how sweet are they?
Mm-hmm.
They're not bad, actually.
Yeah.
I think because they don't really take care of their tree that well, some of them get very large.
Or maybe they're getting more sun or heat from the buildings or the concrete around them or something, which is creating a nice warm environment right there. Okay, and then they have the sun on it maybe during the hottest part of the day or something where it's, you know, really soaking up the sun, and there you go. But in, you know, if maybe in that situation, if it was getting sun all day long, you could have some burning too. So, you know, it would depend on the soil. It would depend on air movement and watering and everything. So, you know, that's another plant for, you know, another topic.
We hope that helps, Linda. We got to take a break.
Okay, but then
you're
going to get a moisture meter and water it, but don't, you might not be have to water it 3 times a week, but you want a good, deep, infrequent watering and use a moisture meter and only water when that soil is like on the moist going to the dry side.
And I can find those at like
any
Yardbird, Lowe's?
Yes, yeah. Anybody will have it. Any nice, you know, high-end nursery, independent nurseries will have them. Okay?
Good talking with you. Back after this. Weather.